The Giant. When the Hardings had finished admiring the wonderful view, Merlin took them to a tower with an old wooden door. "Now then," Merlin said, "put on your Wellingtons and come with me." He told them to put on their Wellingtons and to go with him. Then he opened the door with a large iron key. After they had put on their Wellingtons, they went down the tower. The lower they got, the louder they heard the giant's heart. At last they stood in front of a huge rock. Light came from within the rock, and in it was a large heart. "Now we are deep down below the castle," Merlin said. "People often think that they can find the heart in the castle, but of course that is impossible. The giant died a long time before the castle was built. The castle was only built later on top of what was the giant's home."
"But there's no such thing as giants," Anthea said.
Merlin was annoyed. "Just because you in your short life have never seen a giant, that doesn't mean there weren't any. They may have vanished from the world today, but there certainly used to be giants in Britain, as you will see soon enough for yourself. Now I want all of you to place your right hand on this rock and come with me on a journey to the time when Britain was ruled by King Arthur." As soon as they had all put their hands on the rock, the walls around them disappeared. A cool wind blew on their faces. The sun was shining, and there was a beautiful blue sky above, but the ground wasn't dry, it was still wet from rain. They stood at the top of St. Michael's Mount. There was no castle, just a large cave. The sides of the hill were covered in grass. At the bottom of the hill there was a large forest all around. The sea was several miles away to the south. "Look down there," Merlin said, and pointed towards a village about a mile away. Two of the wooden houses were on fire. Thick clouds of black smoke came from them. There were people running around in the village. There was shouting, and some people were crying. And on the path from the village to St. Michael's Mount, a giant was walking. The giant was walking away from the village and towards St. Michael's Mount. He was carrying a dead pig under one arm and a sack under the other.
"This is terrible," Jill said. "The giant mustn't find us here."
"Be brave and don't worry," Merlin said. "We can see the giant, but we can't be seen. Whatever happens, remember that we are not part of the story. We're only here to see what once happened." The 18-foot giant walked up the hill, went to his cave where he put down the dead pig, and then walked deep into the cave where he put down the sack with all the other things he had stolen from people in many villages. The Hardings nervously watched him as he came out of his cave again. They didn't feel brave at all, so close to a terrible giant. The giant sat down in front of the cave, took the dead pig, and began to eat it.
"Bloody hell," Sandrick said a few minutes later, when the giant had eaten the whole pig. "How can anyone eat so much in such a short time?"
"I'm certainly glad he doesn't live with us," Jill said. "Can you imagine how much food we'd have to keep for him in the fridge?"
Merlin laughed. "If the size of your fridge is your biggest worry, then yours must be a happy life indeed. But come, let's go into the cave and have a look what Cormoran has got there."
"Is the giant called Cormoran?" Anthea asked.
"Oh, did I forget to tell you?" Merlin said. "Yes, the people here call him Cormoran, though it's not really a name. It's Cornish, that is the language of Cornwall, and in Cornish, Cormoran means the giant of the sea." While they were talking, Merlin entered the giant's cave and the Hardings followed him.
"Wow, look at all that gold and silver," Cedric said. "If I could just fill one sack with gold and take it home, I'd never ever be skint again."
"Don't you think Cormoran would mind if you try to take his gold?" Jack asked.
"He certainly would," Merlin said. "Cormoran is a most terrible giant. I suggest you only look at the things here and don't touch anything.
If you take anything, you might become part of the story, and he would see you.
Cedric shook his head. That doesn't sound like a good idea.
I should say not, Merlin said. Cormoran might kill you, and then you'd become a ghost and spend hundreds of years here.
Cedric, the ghost of St. Michael's Mount, Anthea said and laughed. I think that sounds really good. Why don't you do it, Cedric?
Ah, ha, ha, Cedric said, who didn't think it was funny at all.
I don't want to become a ghost. If you like ghosts so much, why don't you annoy Cormoran and...
Oh, no, Anthea shouted and pointed to the entrance of the cave.
They all turned round quickly. Cormoran was tired and lay down at the entrance to sleep.
How could they get out of the cave with a giant lying across the entrance?
This really is terrible, Jill said, feeling annoyed and afraid. It's all very well for you to say that we should be brave and not to worry about the giant, but what are we going to do now? I hope you're not expecting us to kill the giant or something like that.
Indeed I am not, Merlin said. Believe me when I say that you have nothing to worry about. Just remember what happened in the castle hall and follow me.
Merlin then walked towards the cave entrance where the giant lay asleep. When he got to the giant, he walked right through him as though there was nobody there. And though this seemed like a rather unusual way to leave the cave, the Hardings all followed him and were glad when they were outside the cave again.
Now then, Merlin said, I believe it is time we went to the village.
On the way to the village, the Hardings were glad to be wearing their Wellingtons. It had rained not long ago. There was no dry ground anywhere, and the path was covered in mud. 10 minutes later, they reached the village. The two houses were still on fire. Much of the village was devastated. In the middle of the village, a woman was lying on the muddy ground. She was dead. The giant had killed her. A tall, strong boy called Jack sat next to her on the ground and held her hand. He was crying.
Oh, mother, he cried, feeling devastated.
He tried to raise her in his arms, but she dropped back to the ground into the mud. His father came and put his hand on Jack's shoulder.
It's time to say farewell now, son.
Together they carried her to the village cemetery. A deep grave was waiting for her. Jack and his father put her in the grave. Then they filled the grave again. She was not the only person in the cemetery who had been killed by the giant.
Never again will Cormoran kill anyone, Jack shouted. Today I will liberate our land and destroy that terrible giant.
Jack, his father said, what are you saying? No one can kill Cormoran. Is it not enough that your mother lies in her grave? I don't want to have to carry you to the cemetery, too. I know that you're a brave boy, but there can be no victory for you in a fight against a giant.
No, father. Before the day's out, Cormoran will lie dead in the mud, Jack replied.
Jack left the cemetery and hurried back into the village. He knew exactly what he was going to do. He was sure he could defeat the giant, and neither his father nor anyone else was going to stop him. A few hours later, Jack walked up the hill to where Cormoran was still sleeping in front of his cave. Jack quietly went to the giant. He had a metal pot in one hand and a spoon in the other. He held the pot next to the giant's ear. Then he hit it as hard as he could with a spoon. As you can imagine, being woken from a pucker sleep by a pot being banged in your ear is a bit of a shock. Cormoran sat up only to see Jack running down the hill and still banging the pot. When Cormoran had got to his feet, Jack had already reached the bottom of the hill. Jack turned round and saw that Cormoran was still at the top.
Come and catch me, you gormless giant, Jack shouted and hurried off again.
By now Cormoran was so angry that his whole body was shaking.
he ran after Jack. Every time one of his feet landed on the ground, mud flew through the air. Cormoran didn't mind. He liked the mud. He never wore any shoes, and the soft mud felt nice on his feet. In fact, he had mud and dirt all over his body. He never washed himself with soap or even shampoo, and his skin was never clean. Then Cormoran saw that Jack had stopped running. He simply stood there and kept shouting, "Gormless giant, you'll never catch me, you gormless giant!" Cormoran slowly walked towards Jack. "So you think you're brave?" Cormoran said. "Of course I'm brave," Jack replied. "And if you weren't so daft, you'd know that I can easily kill you if I hit you with my pot." This was too much for Cormoran. He jumped towards Jack, but when his feet touched the ground, he didn't land on the ground as he had expected. Instead, he kept falling down and down until he was at the bottom of a deep hole. Now his whole body hurt. He understood that Jack had tricked him. Jack had made a deep hole and covered it with branches and leaves. Cormoran was very cross now. He stood up wanting to kill Jack, but as soon as his head came out of the hole, Jack hit him on the head with an axe. That was the end of Cormoran. Jack, on the other hand, became famous as Jack the Giant Killer, and many stories were told and written about this brave boy.